said this a lot at people's funerals and what have you, but go ahead, Brother Harley. Amen.
I just
want
to.
Amen.
Say how great God is.
Yes, sir, brother. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad God's still able to do those things? Amen. Yeah, I tell you, she's singing that song about being making it by grace. That's how we all make it, is simply by the grace of God. Simply by the grace of God. Take your Bible with me this morning. Let's look in the book, the Gospel of John, chapter number 8. Something that's probably rather familiar to most of us. John chapter number 8, starting in verse number 1. You know the story, and it goes down through the first 11 verses about Jesus and the woman taken in adultery. And this is a story that there's a lot of folks that are, you know, theologians and Bible scholars and all that kind of stuff. They say it doesn't belong in your Bible. Well, it belongs in mine, and it's in there. Amen. So we've got it. So let's read it. Verse number 1, it says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again unto the temple, and all the people came down, came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. When they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And when Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the day. Thank you for the good music and fellowship and worship that we've already enjoyed, and for the good testimony. Lord, I'm thankful that your children can still proclaim and rejoice over what you do for them. And I pray that you just bless us today. Give us wisdom. Give us instruction. Give us the touch of God. All the things that we need from you. And we'll just give you praise and honor and glory for everything that you're doing. And may we lift you up. And I pray you'd save the lost. Speak to that one that needs to be drawn near to you. And again, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. I want you to look here at this story, and as I said, just the story that most of us know about Jesus and the woman. Jesus and the woman. And that's, you know, there's other characters, and I guess we look at those Pharisees and the scribes that are there. They're part of the scene. But you see those main characters, or the main characters, are Jesus and this woman. Brother, can I tell you, that's how it is most of the time when you see something in your Bible. It's Jesus and sinners. Jesus and sinners. And after they get saved from their sin, it's Jesus and saints. Amen? I mean, it's Jesus and saints. I mean, this is the story of the Bible. There's a lot of one-on-one. A lot of times Jesus speaks to a group. He preaches to a group. But when he deals with somebody, most of the time, it's just a one-on-one dealing with folks. Amen. So that's what Jesus is doing right here. He is becoming the well known and the Savior of the world. If you look at the end of chapter number 7, there's a lot of controversy about Jesus already. As a matter of fact, when you look at it in chapter number 7, you see where the religious authorities have already tried to sin and have Jesus captured. And the officers that they send come back to the Pharisees, and they're looking at him. And it says there in verse number 45, then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have you not brought him? And the officers answered, Never man spake like this man spake. And then you look at it beyond that, and it says, then answered the Pharisees, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? Because this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. They said, there's a crowd out there that don't know anything, and they're cursed because we are the elite, we are the learned, we are the educated, and the rest of those peasants don't know anything. And they're listening to this rabble-rouser, this fella, this man, and these guys that have been out there, they said, yeah, but nobody's ever talked like he's talked. He talked like somebody that had some power and some authority and some knowledge that nobody else possessed. Amen? And you know who that, what that was? That was from heaven. I mean, that was what's given to him from heaven. And then if you'll notice at the very end of chapter number 7, it talks about how that it says, and every man went to his own house. And then as we read in chapter number 8, very first verse, it says, and Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. The Savior of this world didn't even have a home to go to, but he went to a familiar place where he'd spent many nights and probably many days in prayer and in communing with his Father. And here he was and gets up the next day and he goes into town. So the people that are after him are still trying to find some way to catch him. And I think you see here in these verses as you read it, well, as a matter of fact, it says so in verse number six, that they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. So the Pharisees have decided to set a trap for Jesus. They've decided to set up some kind of a situation and trap Jesus in this situation. First of all, I want you to notice this as you look at this story. Let's talk about the characters of the men that have come. The character of the men that have come. These men have come to Jesus. And you know what they are? More than anything, brother, they're a crowd of critics. They're just a crowd of critical, just hate-driven, just obsessed with trying to do something to Jesus, a group of men that have that in their hearts and in their life. I mean, that's just them. That's all they want, is to see if they can be critics of Jesus. Amen? And you know, there's a lot of folks today that are still critical. They're critical about Jesus. They're critical about the Bible. They're critical about your and my stand and belief in the things of the Word of God. There's a lot of critics out there. But I heard somebody say this one time, you know, they never build any statues to critics. There's a lot of heroes out there that have statues built for them, that have buildings named after them, but never one critic ever gets notarized for his being a critic. But boy, can I tell you, we got a lot of them in the world, haven't we? Probably even got a lot of them in church. Somebody said one time, said, listen, I want you to know, being critical of people and things is not a spiritual gift, but there's a lot of folks think they've got it, amen, in the churches today. There's a lot, and probably a lot of them do. But listen, here's these men that have come, and as I say, they've taken this woman, or they've caught this woman. If you'll notice, it said in verse number 2, the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, I don't know about y'all, but last time I checked, take two tango, right? But they've got this woman. I don't know who the man was. Somebody said maybe he's faster than the woman at running. I don't know. Maybe he got a head start. Maybe they just let him go. As I said, I think this was a trap from the beginning. I think they had this thing set up. And they wasn't worried about the guy. They really wasn't worried too much about the woman. They just wanted to see how Jesus was going to react. But can I tell you, this is so typical of our world today. This is so typical. The world, it seems like, as far as anybody's concerned, as I said, now remember, we're talking about people that want to be critics and be critical. If you look at it, the first thing I want you to notice is this. As you see these people that are coming up here and they've caught this one, they've done all these things, do you notice that they will always try to catch me and you in something? I mean, that's what the critics do.
They're trying to catch somebody in something. Oh, did you see so-and-so? You know what they did? You know what I heard about them? Do you know what so-and-so told me? Isn't that the most horrible thing that comes our way? And somebody wants you to listen, and then they want you to spread it, and they want you to join in the criticizing with them. They're always trying to catch somebody in something. And these guys have accomplished it. Can I tell you something? You look at me and you, I believe they can catch me and you in something. You can catch me in something that I say, something that I do, something that's going on. You can catch me and you can be critical of me all day long. Because you can catch me. I will mess up. I will make a mistake. I will flub up. And I'll be maybe not into the same thing that this woman is in. But brother, there'll be things we can find in everybody's life in here. If you want to, you can pick people to pieces. That's what somebody said one time. You can pick your friends, but please don't pick them to pieces, right? And that's what most folks in the world want to do. So I'm telling you, these guys, here they are, the critics. I mean, boy, they're good at having a critical spirit. You and I need to be wary and work on that for ourselves as far as having a critical spirit. Let's have a prayerful spirit. Let's have a helping spirit. Let's have a prayerful spirit. Let's have any other kind of spirit other than a critical spirit. But here are these guys, and they've got it. I mean, they've come, and they're looking to catch somebody. And not only are they looking to catch somebody in something, and they've caught this lady, you know what they do then? They turn around, and they're ready to condemn somebody in something. In some kind of sense, they're ready to condemn somebody in something. Do you see this? They come to Jesus and say, "We caught this lady. You know what the law says?" They look at it and said, "Now Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned." Hey, I don't know if they came with a pocket full of rocks or not. But I know some people come in church sometimes. They got a pocket full of maybe not physical rocks, but they've got some rocks they're laying up to get ready and do something with. Oh, we're loaded up today, preacher. Let somebody make a false move. We'll point them out. Let somebody do or say something or be wrong. And so, boy, we sure can pick them apart. Amen. And that's usually the way that we do. Did you see sister so-and-so the way she's dressed? Did you see brother so-and-so and the way he acted? Did you see so-and-so and their this and that? Whatever it is. Man, we're ready. We're ready to catch somebody in something. And then we're ready to condemn them in something. We don't know everybody's life, what they're going through. Can I tell you, there was a day when you could, as I say, catch me in a lot of things, probably condemn me over a lot of things, but I'm glad there's some people that lifted me up in prayer and that hugged me and loved me and tried to help me. Amen. Amen. Because it's easy. The easiest thing in the world to do is criticize and condemn. Those are the easy things to do. And that's what this bunch is doing. I mean, here they are. The critics are on parade. The critics are out in mass. The critics are everywhere. And you know what they're really trying to do in the end? They are just trying to crush. They'll try to crush you in any way that they can. I mean, they're ready to kill this lady. The law says she ought to be stoned. If you go back and read the law says that the man and the woman that have been caught should be stoned, taken out and stoned to death. Well, they got half of it right? But as again, they're not so much worried about it, but they're wanting to get a reaction from Jesus on what he's going to do, right? They're wanting to get a reaction from Jesus. They do get a reaction from Jesus. But boy, isn't it amazing the kind of reaction that Jesus gives to them. You see that here they are, these men that have caught this one, you see them, and they've come before the Savior. But second of all, I want you to see this. I want you to notice the conviction that comes upon these men because of their own sin. Amen? You know, what we say many times, you start criticizing and picking and pointing out on other people, go look in the mirror. Take a long, hard look at yourself. If you'll notice what it says in verse number 6, it said this, they said, tempting him. They tempted, trying to tempt Jesus that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued to ask him, he lifted up himself and he said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they that heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. As I'm telling you, you get this picture. And boy, as I say, it's easy to condemn. It's easy to point the finger. It's easy to find everybody else's fault. It's easy. But I want you to notice just maybe a few things here. First of all, I want you to notice that Jesus did not say that this lady was sinless. Do you ever see anywhere in this that Jesus says, well, she's not a sinner? You'll never see that. You don't see Jesus saying, well, hey, you guys picked the wrong, you know. He didn't say anything. He didn't say, you know, she was perfect. He didn't say too much about her, really, and the sin that she's caught in. That wasn't the point. That wasn't the need. Can I tell you, sometimes we are like Peter, aren't we? When Peter's standing there with Jesus over in John chapter number 21, and, well, what about him? And Jesus said, don't worry about him. I'm talking to you. Amen. Aren't we a lot of times like Adam back in the garden? And God said, Adam, why did you do this horrible thing with the fruit of the tree? And he said, well, the woman that she made me do it. And then she said, well, the serpent made me. We just kind of pass the buck along, don't we? We try to pass along. I want you to understand, Jesus never once says anything to this woman and said, well, she, or about this woman, that she's sinless. I believe everybody can see that. Do you know that there's a lot of folks today, you and I can walk out these doors, and I can see that it looks like they're living in their sin. I mean, you see the drunk on the street and the drug addict on the byways and the people that are just literally in a mess in their life. You can look at, you don't have to go and say, you're a dirty, rotten, stinking sinner. You don't have to. I mean, somebody didn't, they never had to notify this woman, you're a sinner. Now, these critics did. Oh, buddy, looky here, look here, what we've got. Look who we found. And isn't that so easy? I mean, sometimes even us preachers, we can get that way. Well, I'm preaching to y'all, right? And I'll tell you, a lot of times it always start right here with me, and a lot of times it does as I'm reading and looking through the scripture. It speaks to my heart, too. It's not just, you know, Brother Ronnie's talking about that this morning in Sunday school class. Sometimes he said, you know, he gets on me preaching, but boy, when I can remember, when I was out on Sand Mountain pastoring, we had a guy, an older couple, and he would come through there and he would be lighthearted and joking, but he'd come by me and he'd say, preacher, if they'd have been here today, you'd have got them. Amen? Yeah, right. I'm telling you, many times we are here, and many times it does get us too, doesn't it, when we hear from the Word of God. But here's this woman, and he doesn't say anything about her sin. But isn't it amazing when you hear Jesus through that little voice that he speaks to you and he says, hey, you're a sinner too. You're a sinner too. You have sin that's in your life also. And Jesus begins to throw that issue to these men's feet. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Do you know there's nobody in that crowd that day but one who had no sin in his life? And that's the one they're talking to. Jesus said, if anybody had a right to throw rocks, Jesus did. If anybody had, but can I tell you, everybody else just had to keep the rocks in their pockets. I'm telling you today, friend, keep your rocks in your pocket. Matter of fact, when you go outside, dump them on the roadside somewhere because you sure don't need them, amen. Amen. You're just like, you and I are just like these men. The first one of us without sin, start throwing rocks. But if you'll take an introspective look on the inside of your heart, you'll see that, hey, I might not do this, but I'm doing that. Or these are some things in my life. There's some things that I need to get fixed up between me and God too. Amen? I mean, here they are. And, you know, hey, Jesus says, you guys are sinners. And you know what he says? Do you realize, he says to these men in so many words, do you realize you need to pay for your sin too? The first one of you that doesn't have any sin, you start throwing rocks. Hey, the first one of us in here that doesn't have any kind of sin in our life, go ahead and start throwing rocks at others. But if you don't, or if you do have sin, you cannot throw rocks at others. Amen. You can't. Jesus said, let me just challenge you. The first one of you here that is like that, he said, you're a sinner too. Let me just remind you of that. But he also wants to remind them that you deserve to pay the penalty for the sin that you have. You're saying this woman ought to be killed. Do you know that there is a sin debt penalty for what you've done? Every one of us. The Bible said that there's none righteous, no, not one. That every one of us have committed sin. And you know what? Hey, brother, the wages of sin is death. Amen? Woo, preacher. You didn't have to go there. Well, I know I didn't have to, but yes, I do have to. I mean, that rings true for every one of us. The penalty for sin, there is. I want you to know there's a debt to pay for sin. We were looking at some things this week, just little things a lot of times on Facebook or whatever, and I told Sister Lynn, I said, there's kind of a little meme about one of the songs that she sings sometimes. I owed a debt I could not pay, and Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. Amen. The songwriter said, I owed a debt I could not pay, but I needed Jesus' blood to wash my sin away. Amen. And now I'm singing a brand new song ever since that happy day. Thank God he paid a debt he didn't owe, and I owed a debt I couldn't pay. Aren't you thankful for that Jesus saved you by that amazing grace that we just heard sung about? Isn't it amazing that he saved us? Amen. I mean, he looks at this crowd and he says, look, you guys deserve to pay for your own sin. And do you see what happens? You see what happens? It says, and when they heard it, verse number 9, being convicted by their own conscience, they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. You know what Jesus said to him as he stooped down that last time? He said, you got sin. You're sinners too. You deserve to pay for your sin. And I believe he stooped down. And the last thing that he could have said and that said, y'all do the math. You do the math. Ooh, we're sitting there going, You remember what Jesus said to the man that invited him to the dinner, and the woman came in off of the street and knelt behind Jesus and began to weep and wash his feet with her tears and dry them with the hairs of her head and poured that precious ointment on. You remember Jesus told Simon, the man that invited him, he said, Simon, I have somewhat to say to you. He said, well, say on. And Jesus said, let me ask you a question. He asked a question about what if a man had two debtors, and just for our simplicity, what if one owed him $50 and one owed him $5,000? And he forgave them both. He said, who do you think would love him the most? He said, well, I suppose he that to whom much was forgiven, the most was forgiven. He said, thou hast rightly judged. He said, you see this woman right here? He said, look what she's done. He tells what she did. He said, you didn't even offer me a bowl of water. You didn't do any of the complimentary and hospitality things that you ought to do for me. You hadn't even kissed my cheek. You hadn't done nothing. Hadn't even shake my hand. Didn't do nothing. He said, but I tell you, her sins. What does he say? Which are many. Are forgiven her. Woo, aren't you glad of that? He forgave me of a lot of sins. He cleansed me from my unrighteousness. He forgave me of all my wrong. You know how he did it? By his grace. He just looked at me and he said, you cannot help yourself. Amen. You can't do anything for yourself. But I will do it all for you. I'll give my life. I'll shed my blood. I'll rise again from the dead, and I'm doing it all for you. Hallelujah, y'all. Amen. Ain't that what he did? He looked at those boys and said, y'all do the math. How much sin you got? And if you'll read the rest of the text there, it says beginning at the eldest. You know, why? I wondered why does it start the oldest and go? I think those older guys had much more sin in their life. They'd had more time to sin, right? And they sat there and all of them things. Oh, another songwriter said, the old account was growing, getting bigger every day. And you know what? I found out I didn't have any way to pay. Amen? But you know, Jesus came in. He erased my debt. Woo, he forgave my sin. Amen. But listen, here's this. And it says, beginning from the eldest all the way down to the last, the youngest, in other words, they began to leave. They just creeped out of there. They left one by one. Jesus is writing in the dirt, in the sand. Everybody wonders, body, I have no idea. We don't know. I don't know that we need to know. There's people that say, well, he's writing the Ten Commandments. Maybe. He's writing the names and events of the things that those men have done. Maybe. It don't matter. Whatever it was, it convicted their hearts. It showed them who they were. It put them on notice that God knew their sin. Amen? And they began to leave one by one. And the final picture here is this. It says they all left. And it said until. And you know, somebody said, does this mean? And I don't know. I mean, look what it says. When they heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. Now, if you remember at the first of this, Jesus is standing in the temple, right? Isn't that what it says? Verse number 2. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. But now it looks like there's nobody left. I mean, the crowd that brought this woman in, they've left. But I think it looks like everybody else left too. Can I tell you, when he starts naming your sin, pointing it out, it'll clear the house. It'll do something to you. And it said here in this scene, it looks like to me that it says that Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That seems to be the controversial part of this whole passage. People say, well, it looks like the Lord just let her off and just, you know, gave her a little warning ticket and said, don't do that again. I don't think that's what's happened here. I really do not think that's what's happened. There's a lot of folks that say that this doesn't look right, and for that reason, they say, oh, this probably ought not even be in there. Do you know there are some Bibles that eliminate that? There are some versions of this Bible, and they eliminate those verses. There's some of them put them in brackets and say, not in the original or best manuscripts. To that, I say that Greek word, baloney. I believe it needs to be in there. Amen? I believe it needs to be in there. And listen to what this is. If you'll notice, twice it talks about Jesus lifting up himself. It doesn't just say he was stooped over and he got up. It said in Jesus lifting up himself. I want you to know something. When Jesus really shows you who he is, when he lifts himself, you'll see him. And that's what he told Nicodemus. He said, just like Moses lifted that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So here's Jesus and this woman in the closing scene. And he said, where are those thine accusers? You know what? They all slithered away like the snakes that they were. Where are those that are those guys that are going to accuse you? Where are those? Where are those thine accusers? Notice that second question. He has said, hath no man condemned thee? Can I tell you again, people will try to condemn you all day long. They'll condemn you over something. Oh, look at that. Condemnation. Condemnation. Do you know what your Bible tells you? Go back in John chapter number 3. And you'll see when Jesus says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Boy, everybody loves that verse. But if you'll look beyond that, in verses 17 and 18, the Bible tells us that Jesus did not come, the Son of Man did not come, to condemn the world. But you know what it said? He was condemned already. Jesus didn't come to condemn this woman. Why? Because she's like me and you. She's condemned already. She had a condemnation upon her life. Hey, the condemnation said you'll die and go to hell without Christ Jesus in your life. Can I tell you, if you're in this house today, without Christ, you'll die and you'll go to hell. If you're watching on Facebook, you'll die without Christ, you'll go to hell. That's pretty straight, isn't it? Well, we need to hear that. I mean, you're condemned already. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn. They're condemned already. That came because of sin in people's life. It brought a powerful thing called condemnation on our lives. Condemnation. Well, what are we going to do? Jesus said, well, hath no man condemned thee? Have nobody condemned? Can I tell you, Jesus didn't just set this woman free from the Pharisees and the scribes. He set her free from sin. Amen. I believe right here in this area is where she realizes she needs to trust Jesus as the Savior that He is. Now, I don't know how much she knew about Him. I don't know how much she'd heard about Him. I don't know any of that. We're not told that. And you know what? We don't need to know that. She just looked at Him and she said, or He said, has no man could? She said, no man. Well, as I said, men will try to condemn you. They'll try to convict you. They'll try to crush you. They'll try to push you as far down as they can. But listen, no man really can do that. You know what? She never looks up at Jesus and says, I'm not really a sinner. Because look, she's standing there. She has an accusation against her. The accusation is true. Jesus has never said she's not a sinner. She never says, I'm not a sinner. She never said, you know what? She realizes where she's at. Amen. Can I tell you, back in 1972 on Sunday night in September the 18th at Union Avenue Baptist Church, I knew who I was. I knew what I was, and I knew where I was going without Jesus. He didn't have to come down and say, you're a sinner. He didn't have to point that out. I already knew that. The Holy Ghost had let me know that. The conviction and the condemnation that was already there let me know that. But boy, can I tell you this? There was some compassion that came along my way. It's the compassion from the Savior. Jesus said, where are those men that have accused you? Have no man condemned you? She said, no man, Lord. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Amen? Hey, can I tell you, some people today just need some compassion shown on them. In the book of Jude, in those latter verses, it says, and on some have compassion. There's some you got to pull out of the very flames of hell because they're so messed up and mixed up in their sinful life. You got to pull them out of it. But there's some you just simply need to have compassion on them. There's some folks just need somebody to love on them and tell them, hey, Jesus can forgive you of your sins. Jesus, see, He's the only one that can do this. I can't do it. I can't. You can't come up here and say, oh, preacher, blah, blah, blah. And I say, well, you're forgiven because I said, no, but He can. Amen. Sister Barbara sings that song sometimes. I know a man who can. I can't take a heart that's broken and mend it again, but I know a man. I can't take a person that's filled up with sin and forgive them, but I know a man who can. Amen. And His name is Jesus. He's the Savior. Jesus looks at her and says, neither do I condemn thee. Sin no more. I think right here what you see is He says, go and sin no more. That means your sins are forgiven, your sins are forgotten, but you're not to get wrapped up in your life is to be changed as of right now. Your life needs to be changed. Can I tell you, it's the same thing for me and you. Jesus, boy, aren't you glad that old song we sing sometimes? I'm so glad that He saves old sinners. Amen? Amen? Oh, listen, Jesus saves old sinners today. He didn't condemn her, didn't condemn us. But can you see here mercy and grace are on display. The mercy of God says, you're not condemned. Well, aren't you glad of that writing over there? Let me just flip over here in Romans chapter number 8, where Paul writes this. He said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. She had condemnation on her life because she was a sinner, just like the rest of them. There was condemnation because of that. Not because what these people piled on her and what they said about her and how they pointed out. Not because Jesus was going to condemn her. There was condemnation. But it said, when you're in Christ Jesus, there's therefore now no condemnation. When you're in Him. In Him. Are you in Him this morning? Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get a verse of a song ready, if you will. We're going to get ready to sing something, but you know what?